The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, he's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 290 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Hey, we had a great weekend. Well, yeah, great weekend of wrestling. Well, yeah, it was a weekend of wrestling, but we're here to talk about it.
Yeah, man, we had Survivor Series on Sunday. We also had some New Japan Pro Wrestling on Sunday, if you're watching the Best of the Super Juniors and the World Tag League. So there's a lot to consume on Sunday. So thank you to everybody, first and foremost, who joined us, shared their commentary with color in our live tweet, who used the hashtag SurvivorCast. We definitely appreciate it. Everybody's comments. It was a lot of fun. I think everybody was highly entertained, and they were highly entertaining. So we definitely appreciate that, each and every one of you, for coming out. So we'll get right into Survivor Series. We started with the dual branded pay-per-view battle royal. It comes down to a final four of Jeff Hardy, The Miz, Chad Gable, and Dominic Guerrero. The Raw guys teamed up against the SmackDown guys despite their different face and heel alignments. Gable tossed out Jeff Hardy, which was surprising, while Dominic dumped out The Miz. Gable and Dominic had some good back and forth before Dominic hit a 619 and tossed Chad Gable over the top. We think Dominic Guerrero has won the dual brand battle royal. However, Miz was not eliminated. He did not go over the top rope. He snuck back in. He threw Dominic over the top rope. And The Miz, the Money in the Bank holder, is your winner of the Battle Royal.
So, something of note here. Everyone was wondering why we didn't see Big E in this. Why we didn't see Big E being booked on the show, like for the Battle Royal and for later on in the Survivor Series. So the creative is still looking to protect him. So I guess that push is still coming. So they didn't want him being in the pay per view or in that dual brand pay per view. I mean Battle Royal rather, and being on the show, because I guess they had plans for him. Same with Lars Sullivan. They're trying to protect him too. So that's probably there's a couple of names we didn't see on the during that Battle Royal, like no Cesaro.
I think there's something going on with Cesaro. I don't know if it's contractual or if it's injury, but yeah.
I know Cesaro, Aleister Black wasn't there either.
Well, yeah, we know why Aleister Black probably wasn't there.
Yeah, definitely that. So he's basically in limbo. He's basically in limbo because when he got moved over, it was that whole where they said Paul Heyman was running creative on was running the show on Raw.
Right.
He was getting his push. And then when Heyman got let go, they didn't know what to do with him. So that's why he's really been or main. He wasn't even any of main event. He's on SmackDown, but he's just he's at the debut yet again. So we don't know what's going on. And he had requested to go back to NXT. Anybody wants to go back to NXT?
That's because you can go there and you can flourish. I mean, I guess they're looking at Finn Balor and was like, man, he got a rejuvenation over on NXT when he went back. So, yeah, it's definitely worth it if you're kind of stuck spinning your wheels on Raw.
Right. So, he... So, I guess where everything was Zelina coming into play, you know, he's really in limbo. And they said that when she got the news that she's got released, she wanted to go have a meeting with Vince, and Vince told her no. He didn't want to talk to her. So I guess the OnlyFans really pushed it over the top. They said apparently she had the account under a different name. So I don't know what was going on. I just know that I remember they said she had one. They wasn't. It's going to be very tasteful and everything. And the next thing you know, it was like the OnlyFans account pushed everything over the edge and got her to be released.
Yeah, apparently.
But she's still collecting a check.
Apparently, they, you know, there's always somebody who's always going to, like, try to toe the line after the edict comes down like that. And so, unfortunately, she was the one who made the first discretion after they made the, you know, company-wide notice. And so she was the one who got made the example out of. That's what I read.
Yeah, this, right. You know, they said basically this is what's going to happen. So sorry it had to be her.
Right.
Like Dolph Victor would say, sorry it had to be you, but she's the unfortunate casualty of this new policy. So
right.
And she, she got the standard 90-day release. Can't show up with no else tonight for 90 days. So even if she was to go elsewhere, it won't be until February, the end of February.
Right. I heard that it was for her cosplay, right? That's what the channel was basically really for, was going to be.
Basically it was cosplay. It was her costumes, some bathing suit pictures, things like that. She wasn't doing like you normally with normally what OnlyFans is normally.
Yeah, it wasn't
push dance right now. It wasn't nothing like that. It was just she was just putting pictures up there, and, you know, had a little package. You know, people were gonna pay for it. You know, and you know WWE was like that. That just made everything. That's it. Said it. You know, the whole we were boxed in the corner for that. So.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate occurrence just because somebody as talented as her to lose her job on something that really wasn't like wrestling related, just more of a you know, violation of a new policy that's kind of like unfair to them as far as them being able to make extra income off of their own creative geniuses. It's a tough way to be unemployed. Tough reason to swallow.
And like I was saying last week, just look at how the business evolved. You know, it was basically they didn't have this. You know, back in the day, it was just basically you had signings, you had conventions, things like that. I mean, you still have in the day, but it was just that this way you could just. You know, still interact with your fans, make some money on this, make some money, and still give them a good product and everything. But I guess it was just they wasn't getting a slice of the bread, you know, slice of that cheese and nothing like that. You know, it's kind of like I used to work at the mall back in the day, and you would see a Virgil would be set and have a table set up in the middle of the mall, trying to push his autographs like memorabilia and everything off with everything.
Yeah, man.
He tried to get me to buy some pictures from him for like $3 for $30 or something like that. I was like, no, I'm good, man.
Now it's time for the official start of Survivor Series. We have the men's, team matches, so Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, the 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination matches. Seth Rollins demanded a tag and said, for the greater good. Then he dropped to his knees and allowed Sheamus to bro kick him, telling him to do his part, and Seth Rollins was the first person eliminated. Kevin Owens went on the stunner barrage, but then he was put down by a phenomenal forearm from AJ Styles. Corbin then went on a strong run as well, but got eliminated by the floating bro from Matt Riddle, putting SmackDown at a deficit 5-2. Otis was the next one eliminated after he had a mini hot streak, and Jimmy Uso, he had the best run out of anyone on Team SmackDown, but Keith Lee eliminated him with the Spirit Bomb, giving Team Raw a clean sweep and the victory over Team SmackDown.
So, a little note on Seth Rollins. Basically, that was his write-off of TV. That him sacrificing himself for the greater good.
Right.
That was him. That's his write-off for his paternity leave, for his PTO.
So that's what, 3 months?
So no, they don't expect him to be gone that long. He may not he may not be around for TLC, but they say he they expect him to be back before or by the Royal Rumble. So he's yeah. So basically, he's because Becky Lynch is due in December.
Okay, all right.
So that's it.
That good was luck his. To them.
Yeah. Yeah, very good luck to them.
What'd you think about it as
a match? I enjoyed the match. I didn't expect Team Raw to get the sweep on them in that man. I was just thinking like, okay, it's going to be. I didn't think it was going to be a clean sweep, and the fact that it was a clean sweep, but it kind of just played out for the rest of the show. So it was a good thing, but Keith Lee catching Jey Uso, then flipping him into the Spirit Bomb. Oh man, that was great. I've watched it a couple of times.
I guess though,
Wait, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I guess it should have been expected though, considering that Raw got shut out last year. They ain't win nothing.
Yeah, they did. They didn't.
So, it shouldn't have been shocking, but yeah, it's always just kind of. The team that Team SmackDown had assembled and the infighting that was going on the Raw team, you did not expect or didn't see a clean sweep coming.
Right. So what you think about Keith Lee's new music?
It's not as good as his NXT music, but it's better than that other crap. So, you know, it's a slight upgrade, but it's not what it was.
Right.
What it was that hot fire, and now it's like lukewarm.
Right. Yeah, it's what happens when you can't use the CFO, tunes, CFO tunes. You know.
Yeah, man, they're gonna miss them because they really did have some good songs. That you know, I'm glad Bianca Belair doesn't have to change her song. Glad that she got a chance to keep her song because her song is so fire.
You're right.
Street Profits
too.
Yeah, glad they got to keep their song. But I thought they've added a lot to the entrance music game. So it's a big loss, and the new people doing the music, they haven't found their touch yet. So still a work in progress for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the match that everybody listening to this podcast came out to see.
Yes.
It's the Raw Tag Team Champions, The New Day, going up against the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, The Street Profits. The New Day, they came out in their Gears of War attire to celebrate their inclusion in the video game. Montez Ford managed to make the hot tag to Angelo Dawkins, who turned the tide. New Day hit the midnight hour, but only for a near fall. Montez Ford hit the Trouble in Paradise on Kofi, and then the Street Profits pinned Xavier Woods with the Doomsday Blockbuster to, I guess, get the torch passed to them from the New Day, as they, for one night, have proved themselves to be the superior tag team championship team.
Y'all want? I told y'all, Angelo Dawkins has improved, and he was like a house of fire in that match. And y'all, and it's like we know Montez Ford is the star, but you know, Angelo Dawkins is no slouch either. Keep telling y'all that.
Yeah, definitely give some props to Dawkins. He definitely stood out in this match. Xavier Woods really stood out in this match as well. He had a lot.
Like I told you, Xavier Woods has been a house of fire since he came back.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
He's been doing some new stuff, like doing the overhead, like the press overhead, slam. Like press slam. Yeah, uh-huh. He's been doing some new stuff. I mean, like you said last week, he's been out for some months. You know, for almost a year, and you're getting back in the ring shape. You know, you definitely want to show off some different prowess. But I was like, this match was really like my favorite match. Both teams brought it. It was action. It was the ring psychology was great. Kofi on the ring apron with the cup in his hand, smiling. I was like, Kofi is forever move. He's just, you know, just having fun out there, and you know, it's good to see that they are passing, you know, he's passing the torch to them, you know, him and Xavier passing the torch to them and everything, and you know, they get to run with the ball, so to speak.
Yeah, it was cool watching watching Kofi and Montez Ford have that little interaction. It was kind of like the old athletic guy handing it over to the new young athletic guy. And the spots that they were doing.
And Montez hitting the Trump in Paradise on Kofi.
Yeah, that was Kofi.
It's just great to see. We still got ways to go in getting, you know, to the top, but it's great to see that we have, you know, black wrestlers, carrying the tag team torch. You know, we still need to let them get us to the top, you know, like run with the ball for the company and everything, and just let that thing just ride out, so to speak. But you know, I appreciate what they're doing right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that match moved a lot of metrics for their social media and things like that. That, and hopefully they recognize who was the ones tweeting and engaging during that match, and they can understand that there's a big old fan base that they could cater to that could change their fortunes if they decided to go that route. Next up, we had the United States champion, Bobby Lashley, taking on the Intercontinental champion and Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn tried to get the Hurt Business to hit him for a disqualification, but that backfired, and eventually Sami tapped out to the Hurt Lock.
What was funny about this was he had pushed Cedric, and Cedric was ready to jump on him and shout and just have his hand up like, nah. This was a good match as well. Sami being the scheming heel and everything, you know, that was a pretty good look right there. And it was just like Hurt Business down there, and it's just like they had the black and gold on. And somebody in the live tweet said, "What they say the sigmas was out." Some of the sigmas I forgot the other the frats or something like that. I was just like, y'all is crazy. But this was I guess that's a great match. Bobby Lashley going over, you know, that's a good deal and everything. Sami Zayn, and then even lost. Sami Zayn cut a crazy, excellent promo post match after the show. Great promo he cut.
Yeah, Sami Zayn's been on fire when it comes to the promos here lately. That one that he did on Talking Smack, where he interrupted Kayla and and Heyman when he was supposed to be the co-host. That was really good. That was really funny. So yeah, big ups to Sami Zayn. Like you said, he made it entertaining even in a loss. So a lot of people can't accomplish that, but he did. Next up, we have Asuka versus Sasha Banks, Raw Women's Champion versus SmackDown's Women's Champion. They had their usual great exchanges. Asuka caught Sasha with a code breaker on the outside, but Sasha, they were doing a bunch of like roll ups, and Sasha got the final roll up to score the rare clean win over Asuka. It is the first time ever for Sasha Banks to defeat Asuka. So Sasha breaking through all her glass ceilings. She's defended her title. Now she's beating Asuka. So she is just on her way for a great end of 2020 and an even better 2021.
Yeah, Sasha's been on the roll. She's been on the roll. You know, it seems like that whole hiatus that she took was good for her, and she came back and she has been on fire, and I'm really glad to see her shine. And this summer her and Bayley had a wonderful summer, and now she's running with the ball in the fall going into the winter. You know, I'm happy that she's getting this chance to showcase her talents and everything. And she's, you know, got a little small part in The Mandalorian Season 2, which I already knew that.
Yeah, this was great. I love when these two wrestle each other. Sasha, is always trying to prove that she can mat wrestle with Asuka and go submission and hold for hold. So it's always a lot of fun to see how well Sasha has improved her mat wrestling. And it's not just about the, you know, high spots when it comes to Sasha when she wrestles Asuka. So great match. They did what they normally do, and that was just put on a fantastic, fantastic wrestling match. During the pre-show, the Gobbledygooker showed up and defeated R-Truth for the 24/7 title. So backstage during the actual show, the Gooker fell for a trap of birdseed and got rolled up by Akira Tozawa to lose the title. Then R-Truth hit Akira Tozawa with a bag of birdseed to win back the title for the 47th time.
45th time.
Oh, excuse me, 45th time. See, I wasn't that far off.
Yeah. So, do you want to know who was in the suit?
Was it Drew Gulak?
Yes.
Yes, I thought that I'd recognize that voice.
I thought it was him, too. I knew it was him, too. I said, it got to be Gulak. And then when I was reading, it was like Gulak was I was like, I figured he did that. I figured that was him, so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good for Drew Gulak. I mean, you know, the Gobbledygooker is a, you know, one of these, I don't know what you want to call what type of character he is. He's a nefarious character in the legend of.
In the history of Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah, Survivor. I don't know why I keep saying SummerSlam, Survivor Series. Yes, yes. Yeah,
he's definitely, you know, that's like going to be in the history. Like, when you talk about Survivor, you got me saying it now. Survivor Series, history, is going to be in there. And the funny thing was, when R-Truth came out there talking about the anniversary, and they showed they played the tape, the clip, and everything. And it was like, wait a minute. And it was just funny when I was watching that, and Gene Okerlund, rest his soul, was just, you know, having all fun types of fun with it. And I know that Gene was doing those moves and everything, and trying to get him to jump off the rope. And I was like, and Gene was like, I'm not doing that. He's like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, the original Gobbledygooker was apparently Hector Guerrero.
Yes. That's the that's just the tail of the tape on that one.
Yes, yes, the legend. Legend has it.
Yeah, the legend. That's what the legend is. The legend.
Legend has it. Next up, we had the 5-on-5 women's elimination match. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. Lana tagged herself in after the team suggested that they not tag her. Lana held her own but got kicked out, and she was forced to stand on the steps away from the apron. Bayley was the first one eliminated as Peyton Royce got the pin on Bayley. So good for Pepe.
Yeah, I knew you was gonna highlight that because your girl got the pin. That was like real surprising right there. I was like, Bayley got pinned by Peyton Royce.
That's right.
Oh man!
After Peyton Royce nearly ended her career when they did that superplex and nobody stopped Bayley from crashing through the floor. Oh, yeah, it was rough. It was like, dang, I know she was supposed to have a little bit more resistance than that. Natalya used a sharpshooter to eliminate Peyton. Natty, she got eliminated via the women's right from Lacey. Ruby Riott was in the Karafuta clutch. It turned into a pin, but the referee was distracted. By the time he noticed, Ruby Riott had passed out, and Shayna pinned Ruby to eliminate her. Liv Morgan got rid of Lacey Evans with a crucifix bomb, but then Nia eliminated Liv with the Samoan drop. So now it's Bianca Belair as the sole member of the SmackDown team against Nia and Shayna. Bianca walked with Shayna on her back in the Karafuta clutch. Bianca passed out, but as she landed on the ropes to get the break of the hold, Shayna didn't let go of the hold, thinking that Bianca was officially out cold and got disqualified. So Binky is left to fight off Nia. Bianca fought off Nia's attempts to put her through a table. Their fight led to a double count out. And Lana was the sole survivor, and Team Raw is your winner.
Funny, and so it was a funny thing about that, and that was being predicted. Somebody in the hashtag predicted that Lana was going. It's like it's going to be funny if Lana's the sole survivor, and I was like, how are they going to? If I was thinking to myself, if that is the case, how are they going to, you know, do that? And I forgot that, you know, these rules come into play. One thing about Liv Morgan, when she hopped in the ring and said, "You ready, bitch?" And you know, that kind of got the people going. I think somebody made a gif of it. I was like, oh, Liv is definitely ready to go, ready to fight. Yeah, so here's the thing. So a lot of people were upset that of the finish, and I was saying, well, they want to protect Binky. Binky, they don't want Binky taking no pin. So the only way, and plus Lana, they want to push Lana as the white meat baby face. Well, Lana, the baby face that's, you know, tough after being put to the table oh so many times by Nia Jax.
Right.
So basically, Binky getting a double count out with Nia was the best way to go. She gets protected. She doesn't get pinned. And Lana gets to be the sole survivor. So that's how that plays out. And it's the right way to go, you know, because if Binky gets, if, you know, I mean, Binky wins. It's kind of like Lana, I guess Vince wants her to be on top and everything. You know, it's just like, Binky's just a favorite of a lot of black wrestling Twitter and everything, and wrestling fans overall. Well, some of them may be getting upset tomorrow. No, I ain't gonna get to that, but black wrestling Twitter loves her, and we have a voice in this thing too. So they understand why they were upset, but they have to look at it. She didn't get pinned. If she'd have got pinned, like somebody had said, if Lacey would have pinned her, like that would have been it. They would have went off. They would have went off. They would have heard about that. That one. So luckily that didn't happen.
The next time Lacey Evans.
Oh, great, right?
Comes to Binky and wants to do anything as dangerous as a top rope Spanish fly, she should tell her hell to the no.
You said that when you said that in the live tweet, and I was like, oh man, Dawn was so on point with that. Hit the Spanish fly. I was like, wow.
Like, okay. Have you seen her do a moonsault? See how almost doesn't get over? And you gonna trust her to do a Spanish fly? Oh no. Taking your career, Binky, you are too talented to have your career ended by a botch fest known as Lacey Evans. So please don't do that again. Somebody more experienced, no problem. But no, not her. If that was Sasha or Bailey, no problem.
Right.
But Lacey Evans, no. She scares me. She's like unintentionally could hurt you. And we don't know.
Right.
So that brings us to the main event of the evening. The Raw, or WWE, excuse me, heavyweight champions, Drew McIntyre versus the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns. Both guys survived each other's finishes. A ref bump on a claymore allowed Jey Uso to run out and get involved in the match. That opened the door for Roman to get going and make Drew pass out with that guillotine choke. And Roman Reigns defeated Drew McIntyre in, shockingly, a 4-star match. Best match in WWE this year, for my money. This shocked the hell out of me.
Well, okay, yeah, well.
Personal 4-star match.
Okay. I definitely did not expect this match to be as good as it was. They brought it in this main event, and it was just great action all around. And then, you know, Roman doing little things like when they broke the table, he just sitting up on the apron waiting for him to get up so he can spear him through the back panel right in front of the screens, the Thunderdome screens and everything. This was a great, like I said, it was a great match. And the fact that Jey Uso came back even after Roman, Lord have mercy, Roman gave him the blues early in the night, talking about some, when he was saying the whole, if they don't respect you, you know, they don't respect me, and they don't respect our family, you know. So he, and then, Jimmy Uso was there too. He was like, he's going to get out of here. So you and your brother go home.
Yeah, he definitely sunned both of the Uso brothers on that particular interview backstage after the 5-on-5 Survivor Series match did not go the way of Team SmackDown.
But then at the end of the night, when he gave him a hug and everything, you know, Jey was still staring at the title like he still wanted that, but, you know, Jey had that out that title like, like I want it. No, but, you know, this was like I said, it was a great match. Like, nobody expected, but again, Drew got protected. He passed out.
Right.
You know.
Right.
That's, he got protected in this match too, so a lot of people probably didn't like the fact that he didn't get the pin. It was just the whole thing about that whole, they doing that to protect, you know, you can say, well, I passed out. You didn't pin me.
Yeah, that's the only thing about something like Survivor Series when you have so many, you know, big-time main event, A-list people going against each other, champions versus champions and stuff. You know, going to be hard for every match to have that clean of a finish because, like you said, some people are protected. Some people, they're not want to see pin right now or take losses or have a, you know, clean, quote-unquote, loss. They'd rather have something with shenanigans attached to it that they can always claim, you know, thwarted them from being able to see their ultimate destiny. So, like you said, it allows them that flexibility for them to, you know, keep people strong that they're trying to push further down the line if they couldn't keep them off the show in general. So, but all in all, what'd you think about the show from top to bottom?
It was slightly better than what I expected it to be. You know, we see that the Who's of the superior brand was this year, you know, 4-3 in favor of Team Raw. So we get to carry those bragging rights in the 2021. Jay tried to say it was booking. It was how Vince had Team SmackDown being booked. So, you know, but shout out to Queen Malmindy went straight across the board. And who you got?
Yes, she was 6-6, a perfect score. And she was the winner over Mo to the underscore Reese, who came in second with 4 correct answers. Angelina and Ms. Jade, they came in tied for third with 3 correct answers. And I brought up the rear with 1 correct answer.
Somebody thought they was going to be get shot out in their own game. He was like, I got two chances to get shut out in my own game. I was like, but here's the thing about me. I certainly, when I had to go back and listen to that, the clip, the part we was doing, out who you got, because I said Drew, but I was thinking Roman because when I did the push, out predictions, I picked Roman to win. And then when we had a 3-way tie over there, so, you know. I was like, wait a minute.
That's normally what y'all do.
That's what Sean said. Sean was like, ties are normally a thing over here.
Yeah. Well, y'all have so many people playing, though. We don't.
It's only half of us.
Yeah, that's the first time we've had that many people play in our version of
it. Right. Got. Yeah.
So that but made it a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was, like I said, the show was great. It's like watching the show with everyone in the hashtags definitely makes it a much better viewing experience. You know, we get, like, I like doing my no context gifts and things like that when they bring up certain things and everything. We still got Kyle Ren. He does his thing with the whole Black Twitter, Black Wrestling Twitter dance clips and everything, and also with the Hotep memes, especially when it was New Day. I'm not New Day. Her Business out there with Sammy. It was like this is Her Business versus Sammy, and it was the one where they beat up the janitor on Monday Night Raw. And he had the little Hotep hats, the Hotep hats on, the African centric hats on. Yeah, so great show overall. You know, and then TLC is the next pay per view in December. I think it's like the week of Christmas.
Yeah, I think it's the Sunday before Christmas.
Yeah, Sunday before Christmas. So, you know, y'all get y'all Christmas cookies, get y'all eggnog, you know, tables, lettuce, and chairs. But they say that the card is up in the air right now. So
I'll pass on the eggnog, but yeah, you can give me all the cookies.
Y'all hating on eggnog. You get a nice little, some rum or something to go over there. You set that thing all right. You just be sitting there. Have yourself a good old night.
Eggnog and a quiet taste. I have not acquired it yet.
Well, it's certain brands. See, certain brands make it. Like Southern Comfort has a good one. Turkey Hill has a good one as well too. You know, and I think Evan Williams. I think that's the liquor brand. They have their alcoholic The alcoholic one is pretty good. So that's the ones I go. Those are my go-to.
All right. You heard it there first from Mo to the _ Reese. Which brands of eggnog y'all need to be rocking with? His advice is the gospel, because I don't fuck with that stuff. So
Don doesn't drink that. He might have his own things he drinks during the holiday season.
Bourbon on ice and scotch, yes. And
that's a good look right there.
Dark beer, porters and stouts, yes. Those are my drinks of choice during the holiday season. So we'll go from Survivor Series into... Oh, well, first, we've had the total ending of Survivor Series.
Forgot.
They did have the final farewell, the tribute to The Undertaker. Undertaker had a bunch of his old friends there. Shane McMahon, The Big Show, JBL, Jeff Hardy, Mick Foley, The Godfather, The Godwins, Savio Vega, Rikishi, Kevin Nash, Booker T, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, and Triple H all came out.
Forgot somebody.
Who did I forget?
Kane.
Oh, yeah, Kane.
Who came out in his wrestling gear.
Yeah, they all came out to be, like, recognized on TV. And then The Undertaker made his entrance, and they were nowhere to be found. But The Undertaker came out. Well, first, Vince McMahon came out and cut, like, a small promo talking about, you know, 30 years of Undertaker and, you know, the longevity and what he's meant to the WWE. Then The Undertaker came out and he cut a promo about, you know, his time in WWE. And then he did the famous Undertaker pose. And then we got the icing on the cake. A Paul Bearer hologram showed up, and The Undertaker made that long walk out of the arena, and that was it.
But see, the thing was it was that WrestleMania that he left the hat, yes, and the coat in the ring?
Yes.
That's how he should have went out.
Yeah.
We all, when that happened, we all was like, that's the perfect way for him to go. Perfect way for him to go. But, nope.
When the Prince calls, and that chick,
listen, that's got what I said too. Zeros, I said, when Blood Money come a calling, even if Shawn Michaels came out for a match.
Yeah.
Came out for a match.
You know that thing. You know that chick had to have a whole bunch of numbers on it.
Couple zeros. like Scripture said, had to fuck up some commas with that one.
Yeah. A whole bunch of zeros to get Shawn Michaels to come out of retirement. The official farewell to The Undertaker here for his 30-year career. Same place it started, Survivor Series, the exact same date, 30 years to the day. So, tip of the cap to the dead man. I don't know if you watched the Stone Cold interviews with him afterwards.
Yeah, I watched it. I did.
It was really good. Talking about how he was going to beat up Shawn Michaels if Shawn Michaels didn't want to do business WrestleMania 18 with Stone Cold.
Yeah.
just a bunch of stories. He talked about when he got set on fire at the Elimination Chamber, and basically talked about just kind of some last minute decisions he made that kept him from, like, probably being hurt a lot worse than he actually was. So that was very interesting. It was just a good interview, man. Stone Cold's a really good interviewer.
Yeah, he's definitely in his next career.
yeah. So all in all, I thought that Survivor Series was a 3-card show. New Day versus Street Profits, Asuka versus Sasha Banks, and Roman versus Drew. And they all delivered. In the case of Roman and Drew, actually over-delivered what I was expecting. So I thought everything was this was a solid card. Good, action for the matches that I came to see. The 5-on-5 elimination matches were kind of wonky, with Team SmackDown just totally getting jobbed out. Especially the men's team, but at least Mickey got to look strong. She got to show off her strength, and just let everybody know why people are so high on her coming mm-hmm. into this year, coming up in the near future. You know, so it was a good showcase for her. And as long as we get to see Binky showcased, then I can't be mad at the outcome.
Yeah. Always good to see the new talent step up.
This is the WrestleCast episode 290. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. Now we're about to talk about the events that took place on Monday Night Raw.
Before we even start with Monday Night Raw, did you know that that there was a beef, off camera beef between Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss?
Yeah, you couldn't tell.
You didn't know. You knew?
Yeah, I mean, you could tell when they wrestled each other; they didn't like each other.
Oh. Okay, well, fuck it then. Well, I guess apparently that beef is over, so to speak.
Yeah.
I was watching the old interview, and she was like, and Sasha was, it's because Peter Rosenberg had said, about Alexa, but she was like, and Sasha was like, you know, I can do my job. She said she had no interest in doing it, but if she had to, she would, because she can do her job very well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it was. I mean, sometimes you just don't be. I don't be seeing all that, but you know, because sometimes you can see like wrestlers really hating each other. I mean, they hating each other, but they don't really display that in the ring and everything.
Right. Well, you know, Alexa Bliss is engaged now. You know, she's doing this thing with the Fiend and everything. So you know, it's a good time for Sasha. Like I said, Sasha's just breaking through all her glass ceilings. So
Sasha breaking through all the ceilings. It's mm-hmm. like.
Yeah, she representing the bees with all this blue. She had the bandana gear on the other night.
Listen, they had Binky, Street Profits, all of them in that crypt blue. That crypt blue was on point.
So now on to Monday Night Raw, where Team Raw stands proud in the ring with Adam Pearce. Scrap Daddy is here. Pierce gets some time to congratulate Drew and The Undertaker, then he turns his attention to Team Raw. He says results like what they gave deserve to be rewarded. So he's giving each person some time to explain why they should be next in line for a shot at the WWE title. AJ is up first, but Sheamus says no, AJ is not his captain. Sheamus then congratulates Drew for his title win. He says he and Drew go way back, they're the best of friends, and since he was the MVP of last night, when AJ cuts him off, he says we all know that Drew is his buddy, so it seems like using the good old boy system is in play, and he's not cool with that. As for the MVP, that's AJ. Keith Lee says he doesn't hate that, he hates to interrupt, because not only did he save AJ, but he pinned the other team's actual captain, so it's obvious who is worthy. Riddle says that he'd love to be the WWE champion, so there's that. He wonders if beating King Corbin makes him King Bro. Braun says he ain't last, and Pierce explains that this is a common phrase. He grabs Adam Pearce and looks to, you know, rip his head off. He tells Adam to pick him. Then he headbutts Adam Pearce. Matt Riddle stands in between the two. Braun yells at everyone. He stares down Adam Pearce, and then the segment is over.
So apparently there's a suspension. Braun's been suspended indefinitely for putting his hands on the WWE official.
Yeah, you can't be going around here abusing WWE officials.
I said, Randy probably laughed like, ha, ha. Randy's like, I got a fine. You got suspended, sir. But, yeah, it's definitely, that was crazy. He hit by him, and then going forward, just the rest of the night was just hilarious for Adam Pearce.
We return to commentary explaining that Adam Pearce was about to name the guy who would face Drew, but Braun just caved his head in. Later tonight, we're getting a tag team title match between the New Day and the Hurt Business that stems from a backstage segment where the Hurt Business calls them embarrassments. Woods reminds them that they lost last week. Cedric specifically says that they were too busy cosplaying. Kofi tells him to back up, but Woods squares up and Cedric says that they're telling them they want a title shot. Cedric deserves the spotlight. Wood gives in on the challenge, so that leads to the New Day versus Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin for the Raw Tag Team titles. Kofi is sent to the outside. The ref starts his count. Shelton joins him on the outside. The ref hits the count of nine, and Shelton sends Kofi into the ring. The ref calls for the end of the match. MVP enters the ring. He says that they want a restart. So the match gets restarted, and we get attacked to Shelton. He hits Woods with an angle slam and a cover 4-2 count. Kofi is there to save the day. Cedric flies in, and Kofi sends him to the outside. Kofi dives over the top rope onto Cedric. Then Shelton lifts Woods, but Woods rolls through, gets the pinning combination, and he pins Shelton Benjamin and the New Day retain the Raw Tag Team titles.
So her business is 0-3 in tag team championship matches against the New Day. This could be a setup for something to go down at TLC.
Most definitely. 0-3, though, you shouldn't be getting no more chances at the titles.
Who else they got up there that could wrestle them?
I mean, they could put somebody together, but, you know, in theory, three strikes you out.
Right.
So, you know, well, that's going to count one of those.
This is a great match. Foul tip. Great back-to-back matches that they had on Raw. I don't know, something kind of seemed kind of iffy going on there. They, I think Xavier was trying to chill, but Kofi was getting tired of them running their mouth and everything. So, you know, something's going on there. Something's brewing.
Yeah, Kofi was like, man, it's our day off. It's our night off. Xavier was like, nah, man, he talking that trash. We'll go out here and we'll wrestle him. And we'll do the same things we did to him last week. Beat him. And that's exactly what happened. Adam Pearce is backstage with the doctor and the trainer. He says he needs to take it easy for a week. He says Braun has been escorted out of the building, and if it was up to him, he'd fire Braun. Charlie asks what his decision was going to be, but Lashley comes up to talk about his successes and how he deserves a title shot, and Adam says he wants to speak to Bobby in private. So Charlie asks Adam how the talk with Bobby Lashley went. Before he can answer, Randy Orton comes up to Adam to stare him down. Backstage, Lana is with Sarah. Sarah says she's gone from being driven through a table 9 times to becoming a sole survivor. Lana says last night was the greatest moment of her career. She is on top of the world. Sarah asks, what's next? Lana says she can't even think about that right now. She just wants to live in this moment. She is dreaming. Don't wake her up. We head back to Adam Pearce, and Charlie wants to try one more time. He says he has come to a solution. We will settle this in the ring. 3 matches, the winners will meet in a triple threat. The first match, Riddle versus Sheamus. So Riddle versus Sheamus. Sheamus sets up for the white noise. He hits the white noise off the second rope for a 2 count. Sheamus is back on his feet. He calls for the bro kick. He goes for it, but Riddle collapses. The ref checks on Riddle. Sheamus lifts Riddle, tells him he'll never be tough like him, but there's a headbutt from Riddle. We get a high kick to the side of the face. He goes for another high kick, but Sheamus gets him on his shoulders, and Riddle rolls through. Sheamus reverses into a clover leaf. Matt Riddle escapes. He hooks the leg, and he pins Sheamus 1-2-3 to advance to the triple threat match. Yes, sir.
Okay, so Riddle. I'm going to say Riddle advances. And the crowd goes meh.
Yeah, a lot of people have really soured on Matt Riddle due to his outside the ring antics and some of his behind the scene antics as well. So he doesn't have the same fanfare or the people behind him as much as he did when he was maybe in NXT a few months ago. And I guess Vince is trying to figure out, you know, a way to get some of that back. And so he'll have him in this triple threat, have him be a viable contender for the WWE Championship. Backstage, Asuka runs up to Lana, hearing that she wants a title shot. Lana says, no, 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 no. She wasn't even thinking about that. She says Asuka is the best in the world. Asuka says it's okay. She likes challenges. She accepts, and who knows? Tonight, Lana may go home the champion. Now it's time for the Firefly Funhouse. Bray is wearing his Thanksgiving best sweater. Alexa says tonight's episode is about something truly evil, friendship. Friends will always let you down. Friends are no good, just like Nikki Cross. We get a new character in a puppet frog. He is the friendship frog, and true friendship lasts forever, he says. Bray tells Alexa to show the frog exactly what she will be doing to Nikki later tonight. The Fiend's hand comes into frame and covers Alexa's face. He whispers in her ear, and Alexa opens her eyes and beats the frog to death. Bray would like to have us join them for a brief moment of silence as we get a slideshow of the life of the friendship frog. He was 40 years old. Your thoughts, sir? He was 40.
Oh, wow. Hey, he got, wow. Okay. I mean, I like Bray and Alexa together. I like them two together. I'll say that.
Yeah, the dynamic has worked surprisingly well.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you first hear that, hey, we're going to put Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss together, or The Fiend and Alexa Bliss together, you're like, what in the world is, how is that supposed to mesh together? But they've managed to do a great job. Alexa Bliss has really, you know, gotten into this character, and we'll talk about her a little bit later on in the review. Lana versus Asuka, WWE Raw Women's Championship match. Lana misses a roundhouse. Asuka hits a knee. Lana rolls to the outside. Asuka slides through the ropes, and Nia and Shayna, they talk some trash about how long it's taking Asuka to pin Lana. Asuka grabs a water bottle and pours it over Nia and Shayna. Nia and Shayna attack Asuka, and that's a disqualification. Nia and Shayna double team Asuka until she can't stand. Nia looks to send Asuka through the announce table, and that's when Lana hits to the outside and she saves Asuka. Nia tells both women that they started something, they should get back to finish it. They challenge Asuka and Lana to a match. So, sir, how'd you like that championship match for the 3 or 4 minutes that we actually had actual in ring action?
Are you serious? We knew Lana wasn't going to win. We knew that this attack on Asuka was payback for her winning. And it was crazy how they was great trying to set up for the table, but Asuka, Lana helped them get it. Helped her get away. Lana said she wasn't getting number 10. They had two chances for number 10, and that was it didn't happen.
Yeah, it was good to see her come to the aid of Asuka, though, and prevent someone else from meeting the same fate that she had. That was a good, nice little twist to it. So that brings us to Lana and Asuka versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Lana attacks Nia. Nia shoves Lana into the announce table. Nia goes to crush Lana, but Lana moves and Nia flies over the announce table and up against the barricade. Shayna grabs Lana by the head. She locks in the Karafuta clutch, but Asuka rolls Shayna up and gets the pin for the 1-2-3. Lana and Asuka are your winners.
Oh, that happened? I kind of fell asleep after that.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
That did happen. And Lana got her butt out of there so fast.
That's 3 missed opportunities that that Nia could not get table number 10 on on Lana.
Yeah.
She was trying to get her the Survivor Series, and the ref would let her in the ring. And she had 2 missed opportunities tonight. So,
yeah, she was.
The streak is over, as Michael Cole was saying.
She did her best not to get put through the table for sure. So congratulations to Lana for finally breaking the streak. Backstage, Riddle tells MVP what's up. He wants to wish Lashley good luck. Riddle gives Keith Lee some props, saying it'll be a fight for the ages. Riddle says that he has a million ideas for business investments, such as pizza-flavored yogurt. He says he can keep going for days. MVP tells him, no, please don't. Lashley doesn't have the time for this. MVP says he's not Riddle's bro. MVP tells Riddle to get all his ideas, in a few weeks, he can pitch it like Shark Tank. And if they like the ideas, they can do some business. And if they don't like the ideas, they'll do some business. Now, how'd you think about that? MVP basically being like, you know, we ain't got no time for you over here, son.
Who he said to? I told you I fell asleep.
Matt Riddle.
Oh, you
missed this too? Oh, yeah, he's trying to pit some pizza-flavored yogurt.
Yeah, I heard that about that. What the hell are they talking about pizza-flavored yogurt?
Well, we know Matt Riddle's reputation. That's things that people come up with.
I forgot. That's right. That's why when Sheamus called him dopey, you know, you're dopey for real.
Yeah, you know he had the munch and came up with that.
Right.
Yeah, it's just another little character building thing. Chance for MVP to get some promo time up close by the camera, I guess. Bobby Lashley and Keith Lee.
Explosive brawl with Braun Strowman a number of times. Oh, man. Braun Strowman's the reason why we have these singles matches in the first place here tonight. His attack.
And then Lee was unaffected.
Adam Pearce earlier. Oh, what a flatliner to Lee. Uh-oh. Al Ashley to advance and a kick out by Lee at one.
A one count. A one count from Bobby Lashley. Keith Lee is making a physically defiant statement against Lashley.
Oh, Lashley over the top. Lee with that confident smirk on his face. You can only imagine what is going through the mind of Keith Lee.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Oh, I think I know what's coming.
I think I've got a good idea of what's about to happen.
No, we're all. Back it up.
Keith Lee taking umbrage to MVP at ringside.
Oh, and Lashley uses the distraction of MVP.
Superior strategy. This is what the Hurt Business MO is.
Now, therein lies the benefit of having MVP at ringside for Bobby Lashley. Count of five from the official. Lashley sending Lee into the barricade. Lashley rolls back inside. Count of seven on Lee. Lashley rolls out, resets the 10 count.
Oh, he's going to send a message.
Look at that.
Oh, my God. 345 pounds.
Up on the shoulders of Lashley. Yes. Into the post. Keith Lee crushes Lashley in the corner.
God, watch out for the envelope.
Oh, my God.
Sent Bobby Lashley all the way to the outside of the ring.
Keith Lee has got his win back in this match, and now he's on the move.
Oh,
cross body.
No, that is a cross viewing.
This match has received an upgrade in physicality. Now Lee getting Lashley back inside the ring. The official MVP.
Come on.
The official is checking on Lashley. Count of six.
You kidding me?
He bounced him off that ring post.
Count of seven. Lashley rolls onto the rope. He's beating the count.
Keith Lee nearly got counted out because of the involvement of MVP.
The official never saw it. And now that opens the door for Lashley.
Keith Lee struggling just to even stand it now.
Hurt lock. Can he cinch it in?
Can he get it around those arms?
Keith Lee's starting to stir.
Can't lock the fingers.
He better attach those hands before he... Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, he's powering out.
Keith Lee is preventing Lashley from cinching on the hurt lock.
has blocked the arms, and now Lashley doing anything he can.
He's transitioning into a sleeper,
but he doesn't have his arm.
No, he doesn't.
No! Down goes Lashley. What is MVP doing? Lashley, the opportunity.
Bobby Lashley. Bobby wasn't getting up for that. MVP's protecting his investment.
MVP just lost his mind.
Here's your winner by disqualification, Keith Lee.
I mean, look, obviously this isn't the way Keith Lee wanted to win this match, but nonetheless, yes, Keith Lee is your winner by disqualification and advances now to that triple threat match.
Next week here on Monday Night Raw.
Shenanigans all around.
Oh yes. This was a good hard-hitting big man versus big man match, though.
Right.
They did not mess around when it came to, you know, hitting each other very hard and making it look like a straight up fight. Like I said, Bobby Lashley got busted open in his forehead, so he was out there bleeding, so that added a little bit of extra to the match. So, yeah, good for Keith Lee. He's a part of the Triple Threat now with Riddle. And we got one more contestant coming up that will be named later in the evening. Nikki Cross, she gets some mic time with Sarah. She says that she didn't give up. Alexa gave up on her and her friendship. The last few months, she's done nothing but try and talk to Alexa. She's tried and she's done trying. Last week, she made it perfectly clear that she doesn't want Nikki's help. Message received. She is sick and tired about worrying about her and their friendship. There's only one thing she cares about, and she's going to beat the fiend out of Alexa Bliss. Nikki Cross versus Alexa Bliss. Nikki Cross hits a low cross body. She attacks in the corner, then snapmares Alexa to the center of the ring. Alexa starts crying, then she's shocked at what she is wearing. She asks what's going on. She stares at her gloved hands and pulls at her face. She reaches for Nikki, crying, asking what's going on. She asks for help. She doesn't know what exactly is happening. She continues to break down in the middle of the ring. She grabs the hand of Nikki. She says she is sorry as she stands. She hugs Nikki, then snatches her into the Sister Abigail, pins Nikki for the 1-2-3, and Alexa Bliss is victorious over Nikki Cross. This was so devious.
Ooh, it was.
So devious. It's like, preying on your friend's emotions, knowing that she wants you to come back and show vulnerability, and then you use it against her to give her the Sister Abigail.
Yep.
Two things. Do you like the new Alexa Bliss gear, and do you like the new Alexa Bliss music?
They both are good. I like this dark side of Alexa Bliss. This whole fiendish side of Alexa Bliss. I'm digging it.
Yeah, this is definitely a far cry from the Sparkle Splash version of Alexa Bliss from NXT days.
Think about when she turned heel then. She was showing the signs that she could be real devious and evil.
This is true. I've always thought that she worked better as a heel. So it'll be interesting to see how they make this kind of face version of Alexa Bliss and the Fiend work going forward, as we got a little bit of a taste of what's to come in the main event, I guess. The main event saw Randy Orton versus AJ Styles for the final spot in next week's triple threat match to determine the number one contender for the WWE Championship. DDT off the ropes attempt, but AJ escapes it. He takes the leg of Randy Orton and he tries for the calf pressure. Orton won't let it happen, but AJ does eventually get the calf pressure. Orton reaches the bottom rope. The submission hold is broken and we get a power slam from Orton and an RKO attempt. AJ escapes the RKO attempt. Orton goes to the outside. He trips AJ up on the apron. That's when the Fiend music hits and he pops his head up from behind the barricade. Orton is back in the ring. AJ goes for the phenomenal forearm, but Orton clips the legs and he hits the DDT off the ropes. The lights go off in sections this time. They come back on, and the Fiend is right behind Randy Orton on the apron. He screams in Orton's ear. The lights go back out. They come back on, and the Fiend is gone. AJ is on the apron. Phenomenal forearm to Randy Orton. AJ covers Randy for the 1-2-3. And it's going to be AJ Styles advancing to the triple threat next week, where it will be AJ Styles, Keith Lee, and Riddle for a chance to become the number one contender. Did you enjoy Randy Orton versus AJ Styles? Were you back awake for that?
Yeah, I caught this. I caught this at the end. Solid match. I didn't know who was going to win here. I mean, it could have went either way. So, Fiend coming for Randy. So I guess that's going to be his next feud and everything. So I'm waiting for that. Just to see how he's going to torture Randy.
like I said, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how Alexa Bliss plays into all of that as well. It's kind of the sidekick. Once we get into this story, I guess it's going to culminate at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs in December. But all in all, your opinions of Monday Night Raw, did you enjoy it? What would you rate it 1 out of 5?
Oh, this is definitely a 2.5 because once I fell asleep, it was just like it didn't really grasp my interest. Normally I could power through and watch the show and just and have a good grasp of it, but it just didn't catch me. So I was like, took a nap and I missed a couple things, but I saw it got up in time for the last match, so that was cool and everything. So like I said, 2.5.
Yeah, I'd give it like a 3. You know, it wasn't a blow your socks away show, but it definitely was a decent after a pay-per-view, setting up your next pay-per-view type of show. They did a highlights of, you know, a lot of women's focus on Shayna, Lana, Asuka, Nia. They established, you know, the major players for the title coming up. They gave Drew a night off, so that was cool. Didn't have to see him come out, cut a promo or do anything. So yeah, there were some elements to it that were pretty good, like the tag team match to open the show, which was almost like 25 minutes between New Day, Cedric, and Shelton. That was definitely probably the match of the night. And then you know, the Adam Pearce segments were pretty funny as well. So he kept getting cut off trying to make that final decision about what was going to happen later in the evening. So, you know, decent follow-up show. Nothing to, you know, really go and search out and watch again. But, you know, hopefully we'll get a couple more of these better shows leading up to TLC in the next couple of weeks. All right, Mo Meltzer, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, for your final thoughts and shout-outs.
So final thoughts. So I guess, you know, we definitely are heading toward the Royal Rumble season. So now hopefully they put they give the green light on Big E pushing everything. Because Big E, I mean, basically been in the comedy role the past couple of weeks with Street Profits. So hopefully we get to see that going forward. I don't know what's going to happen in this triple threat match next week on Monday Night Raw. It's just, it should be a good one, but it might be shenanigans because it's rumored that Drew's opponent for TLC is going to play out in another way, another manner and everything. So we'll see how that plays next week on the show. Other than that, I mean, I'm just watching now. You know, it's nothing really exciting me. You know, didn't even see Retribution last night. No Retribution last night. Like,
well, you know,
no signs of that.
Yeah, you're right. Very, very odd that they had that big angle between Asuka and And Mia Yim, yeah, where she's, you know, proclaiming that she wants the title, and she took out Dana and everything to kind of establish her as maybe a threat in some way, and then you had nothing to follow that up with this week. Maybe they'll get back to that next week, but yeah, that was definitely a big omission. No sign of retribution.
Right. Yeah. So that was just crazy right there, but. Overall, just, you know, we starting the week off, you know, and Raw just didn't really catch me. So we'll see what goes on the rest of the week. One of the other shows. Can't wait to see. I know NXT is going to be great building up to War Games. That's going to be an exciting pay-per-view.
Right. December 6th is coming around very quickly. So they got to do a quick build over there for them to get that thing up and running, but
they definitely won't get it because they got the men set up, but the women's one will be set up. It's going to be set up just right.
Yeah. I wonder who that fourth member is going to be though for the women. If you're going to have Shotzi, probably Ember, more than likely Toni Storm. So who is the fourth member going to be?
Don't know. It's going to be real interesting to see.
Who's the fourth man? Fourth woman in this instance, though. So, yeah, so stay tuned to NXT. Use the hashtag NXTcast to share your commentary with Color. And also look out for the podcast with me and Miss Simi on Thursday as we review everything NXT.
Wait. Y'all not going to do a show on Thursday. I know y'all not.
Yeah, it'll be out on Friday.
I'm not going to do a show on Thursday.
Yeah, we already talked about it. We'll probably do it, do it in the afternoon, maybe.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought y'all took Thursday off or something like that and kind of just held it off. Right.
No, we're going to give the people what they want because she said she wasn't going anywhere. I said I wasn't going to go anywhere, so why not?
Okay. Thanksgiving recording with Don and Simi. It should be interesting.
Yeah, man.
Who gonna pass
over? From the tryptophan first. Yeah. Well, we'll be recording probably either right before the Washington football game or right after the Washington football game. So, I'll be hyped either way.
So either you're going to be in a good mood or you're going to be in a bad mood.
Yeah, but I'll be hyped for it either way. So, yeah.
Who y'all playing?
Dallas. Thanksgiving.
Snap. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is it Dallas too?
It's in Dallas, yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Dallas week. Baltimore Pittsburgh week here, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, try to get some rivalries on Thanksgiving Day. Looking forward to talking with Miss Simi about NXT this week. Check us out over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Where you can hear me and Miss Simi talk about AEW Dynamite. We review that show each and every week on our Patreon page. And you can also hear more content.
I think the homie Word exclaimed he's a patron because he was hitting me up about the Basham brothers last week when we was talking about Linda Miles, and he was like, I don't know about her, and I was like, Shaniqua. And I'm talking about the whole Jim Cornette thing and everything. So it was the Basham brothers. That was they was in JBL's cabinet. After they left her, they went to join JBL's cabinet.
Okay.
And everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Word Exclaim. Thank you for becoming a patron. We definitely appreciate the support.
Yeah. Yeah, he always be in the hashtags with us. A lot of folks that be come up in the house. I'm trying to get one of the other ladies who watches wrestling to come join us as well too, because she'll comment on something that I'll retweet or something like that. So I'm gonna try to get her to join us as well. I'm trying to recruit some folks to come watch the shows, tweet with us and everything, so we can have some more lively folks in the hashtags. Yeah, we got some great folks that be in there with us, you know.
Yeah, yeah. The more people, the better. Especially the Glow, like members of the Glow. We're always accepting more WrestleBays to expand the Glow. So definitely looking forward to that. So like I said, thank you to everybody who is on the Patreon feed. We definitely appreciate you supporting the podcast in that way. Also, head over to CSPN.us, click on the tab that says Keep Our Podcast Free. Help keep the shows here on the CSPN free by doing some shopping with some of our sponsors. Our main sponsor is Amazon.com. So do your Christmas shopping and all this.
Black Friday's coming.
Yeah, Cyber Monday, all that good stuff.
Yep.
Help keep the podcast free by going to CSPN.us before you go into Amazon. Do your purchases like you normally would and let some of that money come back to help the podcast stay free. Check out the latest episode of Cast a Strong Style, where I'll talk to Terry's boy about nights 3 and 4 of the World Tag League taking place over in New Japan right now. We got about 2 more weeks to go in both the Best of the Super Juniors and World Tag League. So we're coming down the stretch in both of those tournaments. So stay tuned to Cast a Strong Style for the latest as Anwar is taking the duties of the Best of the Super Juniors and Terry's boy is taking on the duties of the World Tag League, and I'm watching them both and I'm hosting the shows. So we'll good conversations there, always fun to talk to Terry's boy. Good episode we just put out, so please check that out. Ladies also, Night Smackdown Matters, if y'all did not check that out, please check out Miss J to the Max, Queen Mel Mindy, and Angelina FNA as they took over the SmackDown Matters episode right before Survivor Series. So you can hear Queen Mel Mindy's rationale, her picks, right before she went 6 for 6 on who you got and all the shenanigans. The ladies had a great time recording, and I hope you enjoyed everybody who listened to the episode already. I hope y'all enjoyed it as much as we had fun recording it. What do you want to add there, Mo?
Oh, no, I was going to say, we recorded over at The Push. We recorded on Sunday, so hopefully that episode will be coming shortly.
Yep. As soon as I get it in my email, I'll put it out
for you. Yeah, that's what I said. It should be coming shortly. We recorded. We are recorded Sunday. It was fun getting with the guys and just talking. So
was it a Scorching Takes episode?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Okay.
All right. Yeah. So definitely check that out. I'm pretty sure Sean, who has been Grandpa Simpson for a lot of things WWE lately, I'm pretty sure he had some outstanding comments on this episode of The Push. So definitely looking forward to that. So for on that note, for my co-hosts.
Oh, hold on. Real quick. Sir. Shout outs to everybody in the hashtag with us. Shout outs to Classic Gray, shout out to Dee Dee. Happy birthday to Mel. It's a birthday today. So happy birthday. Shout out to Cammy D came through with the audio clip on Twitter on Sunday. She said it's the only thing we get from her, so we better enjoy it. That was great to hear. Shout out to everybody who was watching Survivor Series with us, Monday Night Raw. We appreciate the support. We appreciate the love. Share with a friend. Tell them to come listen to us every week. We're here. We do it because that's who we are. We watch wrestling, even though sometimes it gets on our nerves, but we can't get away from it.
That's right. So use the hashtag, share commentary with color, listen to the podcast, share, rate, and review the podcast. Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's them again. And Mo_Reese, Don Delorente. This has been episode 290 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Keith Lee, congratulations. Tonight defeating the United States champion, Bobby Lashley, to move forward to a triple threat match next week for a chance at the WWE Championship. Now, I talked to one of your opponents for next week, Riddle, and he said that match next week is going to be stacked with stallions, which, sir, is you. Now, it's up to either AJ or Randy Orton to be your next competitor for that triple threat match. Who would you rather?
In all honesty, we both know I have history with the Viper, the Legend Killer, the Legend, for better terminology, to be quite honest. I don't have as much with AJ. So, that is honestly inconsequential. Because as you spoke into Riddle and said, stacked with stallions. Stallions is plural, he's talking about me because of the power of multiple men, clearly. However, that is a friend of mine. We go back years, and he knows very well. If we get into a match, I'm going to bring the same intensity against him as I would with someone I despise, and I may hit him even harder out of love. However, as we move forward, this isn't about who's in the match. This is about what's at the end of the journey, and that's a WWE Championship opportunity. Since I got here, that's what I've chased. Opportunity is one of my favorite words, because when I get them, I tend to smash them. That's what I intend to do next week. Whoever wins that match, when you see them, wish them luck.
Promise. Thanks for your time. We'll be right back.